All right, let's jump into another deep dive. Today, we're taking a look at musculoskeletal disorders.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, specifically, we're going to be talking about osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, and conditions like fibromyalgia.
Gotcha.
Now, a listener actually sent in this really in-depth nursing care study guide.
Oh, cool.
It's pretty dense, but we're going to decode it for you, I promise. So think of us as like your guides through this medical terminology jungle.
Sounds good.
We're going to extract those golden nuggets of knowledge and make it practical for you.
I like it, distilling it down.
Exactly. All right, so first up, let's tackle the two big ones that people often get confused. Osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people just think arthritis, achy joints, that's it. But there are some really key differences, Kai.
Absolutely. And those differences are so important because they really dictate, you know, what kind of treatment you're going to get, what kind of symptoms you're experiencing. So it's really important to understand what's actually happening underneath, like the root cause of each of these. So let's start with OA, osteoarthritis. You can kind of think of it like a rusty door hinge that's been used a lot. Over time, you know, it gets squeaky and it gets a little stiff. That's basically what's happening in OA. That cartilage in your joints, it wears down over time.
Oh, I see.
And eventually it leads to bone rubbing on bone, which can be really painful.
Ouch. That doesn't sound pleasant.
No, it's not. It's definitely not.
So it's more like the actual mechanics of the joint, like wearing down.
Exactly. Just wearing and tearing.
Okay. So then rheumatoid arthritis, or RA, it's a whole different story, right?
It is. And this is where it gets really interesting because RA is an autoimmune disease. Now, this means your immune system that's supposed to be protecting you.
Right, the body's defense system.
Exactly. It's kind of going rogue, and it starts to attack your own tissues.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, with RA, it attacks the lining of your joints. And this is what causes all that inflammation and pain and damage.
So it's almost like friendly fire from the immune system.
Exactly. And that's a great way to put it. So we have that mechanical wear and tear with OA, and then we have this immune system attack with RA.
I'm getting a much clearer picture now.
Yeah.
So like just knowing that helps understand why the symptoms are so different and why the treatments are so different.
Exactly. So with OA, the pain tends to come on gradually over time, and it often affects like one side of the body more than the other.
Sure.
It's not always symmetrical. Like you might have more pain in your right knee than your left knee.
Yeah.
And it also tends to be worse after you've been using the joint a lot.
Right, like that creaky door hinge.
Exactly. Like after you've been walking around all day, your knee's going to be more achy in the evening than it was in the morning.
Okay. So if someone's noticing, like, hey, it's mostly on this one side of my body and, you know, it's been gradually getting worse, that could be a clue that it's OA.
Yeah, that's a good indication. It's not a diagnosis, of course, but it could be a clue.
Right, of course. Talk to your doctor. But then RA, you said it tends to be symmetrical.
Yeah. So with RA, you'll often see pain and swelling in the same joints on both sides of the body.
Wow.
Like both wrists, both knees.
Yeah.
And it's not just limited to the joints. People with RA, they can experience all kinds of symptoms.
Really?
Yeah, like fatigue, fever. You can even have inflammation in other parts of the body.
Oh, wow.
Like the heart, the lungs. Because remember, the immune system is kind of on a rampage.
Yeah.
It's not just attacking the joints.
That sounds way more intense than just dealing with some achy joints.
It can be. And that's why, you know, early diagnosis and treatment for RA is so important.
Okay.
If we can catch it early, we can actually slow down the progression of the disease. We can even prevent permanent joint damage.
Wow. So just understanding those different mechanisms, like you said, it's crucial to understanding why the treatments are going to be so different.
Totally.
You know, OA, you might be able to manage it with things like pain relievers, physical therapy.
Exactly.
But RA might need something stronger, something to actually modify what the immune system is doing.
Right. You might need those medications that we call DMARDs. Those actually work to suppress the immune system.
I see. So it's kind of like, you know, OA, you're patching up that rusty hinge.
Yeah.
But RA, you might need to, like, rewire the whole electrical system.
That's a great analogy.
All right, so we've covered those two big arthritis players. Now let's talk about a condition that's a little trickier to pin down. Lupus. It's known for being tough to diagnose. What makes it so difficult?
Lupus is a real mystery, and it's often called the great imitator.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and that's because it can affect so many different parts of the body, and the symptoms can really mimic a lot of other conditions. So like RA, it's an autoimmune disease. But instead of just attacking the joints, lupus can actually impact Your skin,
Okay.
your kidneys, heart, lungs, even your brain.
Wow, so it can show up in all kinds of ways.
Yeah, and that's what makes it so hard to diagnose. Someone might have fatigue and joint pain, but they might also have a skin rash, and they might be really sensitive to sunlight.
Okay.
And maybe even some chest pain. It's like putting together a puzzle. You know, it can take a long time to figure out what's going on.
That must be really frustrating for someone who's, you know, trying to figure out what's wrong.
It absolutely is. I mean, there are some classic signs, like the butterfly rash across the cheeks and nose.
Oh, yeah.
But not everyone with lupus gets that rash. And even if they do, it can come and go.
So it's not a reliable indicator.
Not always.
Okay, so it's like the immune system is kind of on this, like, rampage, attacking different organs.
Right.
Almost randomly.
Yeah, it's like it's misinterpreting normal, healthy tissues as threats. And just launching these attacks all over the body. And the crazy thing is we still don't fully understand what triggers that malfunction.
It's still a mystery.
Yeah, there's a lot. We're still learning about lupus.
All right, so we've talked about conditions that affect a lot of different organs, but now let's shift gears to a group of conditions where the main symptom is pain.
Okay.
I'm talking about things like myofascial pain syndrome, fibromyalgia, and chronic fatigue syndrome.
Right.
Now, these conditions often get dismissed as being all in your head.
Fortunately, yes.
Because, you know, the pain isn't always visible. You can't, like, point to a broken bone or something.
And that can be really damaging for people who are struggling with these conditions because the pain is very real.
Absolutely.
It's just that it's not as easily explained or diagnosed as something like, you know, a fracture or a sprain. But the suffering is absolutely real.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point to emphasize. So let's break down each of these a little bit. What is myofascial pain syndrome?
So, myofascial pain syndrome, it all comes down to these things called trigger points.
Okay.
These are basically like little knots in your muscles that are super irritable.
Oh, like those knots you can sometimes feel in your shoulder.
Exactly. And these trigger points, they can cause pain in the area where they are, but they can also cause referred pain, meaning pain that travels to other parts of your body.
Oh, interesting. So it's not always like right at the spot where the problem is.
Right. So you could have a trigger point in your shoulder that's causing pain down your arm or even in your hand.
Okay, so with myofascial pain, we're talking about specific localized pain points, often caused by those trigger points.
Right.
But fibromyalgia, that's more about widespread pain.
Yeah. Fibromyalgia is kind of like myofascial pain on steroids. It's characterized by widespread musculoskeletal pain, you know, all over your body. But it also comes with fatigue, sleep problems, difficulty concentrating, even mood disorders. It's like a whole body experience.
Mm. And what's going on there? Is it just that there's more damage in the muscles and joints or is something else happening?
Well, what's really fascinating about fibromyalgia is that it seems to involve the way the brain processes pain signals.
Okay.
It's like the volume knob on pain perception is turned way up.
Oh, I see.
So things that wouldn't normally cause pain become really painful for someone with fibromyalgia.
That sounds incredibly challenging to live with.
Oh, it definitely is. And it can be really hard for people to get a diagnosis because it's not always clear what's causing it.
Yeah, because there's not that, like, obvious physical damage that you can point to.
Right. And then we have chronic fatigue syndrome, which is kind of its own beast.
Yeah. How does that fit into all of this?
So chronic fatigue syndrome, the main symptom is this overwhelming, persistent fatigue that doesn't get better with rest.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not just talking about feeling tired. This is like a bone deep exhaustion.
Okay.
That can make it really hard to do even the simplest things like getting out of bed or taking a shower.
And what's causing that? Is it like an energy production problem or something?
We're still figuring that out, but research suggests that it might involve a combination of things,
right,
like immune system dysregulation,
okay,
problems with how your cells produce energy, and even hormonal imbalances. It's a complex condition.
Yeah, for sure. So we've got those specific trigger points causing pain in myofascial pain syndrome.
Right.
We've got the brain amplifying pain signals in fibromyalgia, and then this whole body energy crisis in chronic fatigue syndrome. But what's the common thread between all of these conditions?
Well, I think the biggest commonality is this idea of altered pain processing. Whether it's due to those trigger points,
yeah,
or a hypersensitive nervous system or some other underlying factor, the body is experiencing and perceiving pain differently.
Oh, that's a really interesting way to look at it.
Yeah.
And I think it highlights how important it is to take pain seriously.
Absolutely.
Even when you can't see a clear physical cause.
Even if we can't see a broken bone or inflammation on an X-ray, the pain is still real. Right.
And it needs to be addressed.
Okay, so we've laid the groundwork for understanding these different conditions. Now, before we dive into the medications used to manage them,
okay,
let's take a quick break.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back with more insights from this nursing guide.
Can't wait.
See you tuned.
All right. Welcome back. So now that we have a better understanding of what we're dealing with, let's explore how we can actually manage these conditions. And medications play a big role in that.
Yeah, this nursing guide dives into all the different types of meds used. It can be kind of overwhelming, though.
Right, so many names.
So many different categories.
Right.
But, you know, I always say knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
So let's decode these drug classes and really empower ourselves to, you know, understand what's going on. Where should we start?
Well, let's begin with a familiar group, the NSAIDs, VAIDs. That stands for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs.
NSAIDs. Okay. I feel like I've heard of those.
Yeah, you probably have. These are your everyday pain relievers like ibuprofen, naproxen, or even celecoxib. You can get some over the counter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like Advil and Aleve. Those are my go-tos for like headaches or when my back's acting up. But how do they actually help with arthritis?
So think of inflammation as like a fire in your body.
Okay.
NSAIDs, they block those enzymes that are fueling the fire. So they're not putting out the fire completely,
yeah,
but they're kind of turning down the heat, reducing the pain and swelling.
Oh, so they're helping to like dampen that inflammatory response.
Oh, exactly.
But I've also heard like you got to be careful with NSAIs, especially if you're using them long term. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a good point. While NSAIDs are generally safe for short term use, if you're popping them every day for weeks or months, that can lead to some problems.
Like what kind of problems?
Well, they can be hard on your stomach, so you might experience heartburn, indigestion, even ulcers or bleeding in some cases.
Ouch.
Yeah. And they can also affect your kidneys, especially if you're older or if you already have some kidney issues. So it's important to talk to your doctor.
Definitely. Even if it seems like, you know, a harmless over-the-counter medication.
Exactly. It's always good to check.
Always good to talk to your doctor. Yeah. All right. So that's NSAIDs. What about those stronger medications that are often used for rheumatoid arthritis? The ones with, like, the complicated names that I can never pronounce.
Oh, yes. The DMARDs. Those are the disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs.
DMARDs. Huh. Okay. So those are different from NSAIDs. How so?
Yeah, these are the heavy hitters for IRA because they don't just mask the symptoms. They actually try to slow down the progression of the disease itself.
Oh, wow. So they're going after the root cause, like that immune system attack we were talking about.
You got it. Medications like methotrexate, hydroxychloroquine, they work by suppressing the immune response, calming it down.
Yeah.
So it's not attacking those joints as aggressively.
So it's like telling those overzealous immune cells to chill out a bit.
Exactly. And that can help reduce inflammation, protect the joints from further damage. It's a big deal for folks with RA.
But messing with the immune system? I mean, that sounds a little risky. What are the downsides?
Well, you're right. When you suppress the immune system, you are more susceptible to infections.
But,
so it's really important to be aware of any signs of illness like fever, cough, anything like that, and let your doctor know right away.
Yeah.
Regular blood tests are also super important to monitor liver function and make sure your blood cell counts are okay. It's all about monitoring and staying ahead of any potential issues.
It's like a balancing act.
Yeah.
You know, managing the disease, but also making sure you're not making yourself more vulnerable to other things.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, what about those even more targeted medications, the biologics? I've heard those are reserved for like really tough cases of RA.
Yeah, biologics are really cool. They're like guided missiles targeting very specific components of the immune response.
Oh, wow. Like high-tech targeted therapy. Can you give me an example?
Sure. So you have medications like etanercept and infliximab. They work by blocking specific proteins involved in the inflammatory process, kind of like cutting off the communication lines that are telling the immune system to attack.
So they're disrupting those signals that lead to inflammation.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm guessing there are some things to consider with these drugs too, right?
Of course. Biologics, they're usually given by injection or infusion, which can be a little inconvenient.
Yeah.
And since they're suppressing the immune system, again, there's that increased risk of infections. And you also need to be careful with live vaccines while you're on these medications.
So a higher level of monitoring is definitely needed.
Definitely. Close follow-up with your doctor is key.
Okay, got it. Now, let's talk about corticosteroids. Those are used for a bunch of inflammatory conditions, including lupus flares.
Yeah, corticosteroids like prednisone are like the big guns.
Okay.
They're potent anti-inflammatories. They work really quickly to tamp down that inflammation.
So they're like the fire extinguishers of the medication world.
That's a great way to put it. They're great for those acute situations when you need to get that inflammation under control fast.
But why aren't they used long term?
Well, they can have some pretty significant side effects, especially if you're taking them for a long time. We're talking weight gain, increased blood sugar, mood swings, even bone thinning.
Oh, wow. So they're powerful, but you got to be careful.
Exactly. They're often used to get things under control quickly, and then the goal is to taper them off as soon as possible and switch to something else for the long haul.
Makes sense. Now, what about those conditions where pain management is the main focus, like fibromyalgia? Are there any medications that are particularly helpful for those?
So for conditions like fibromyalgia, where those pain signals are amplified, we often turn to medications that are traditionally used for other
Really?
things.
That's interesting.
Yeah, think
Yeah.
antidepressants and anticonvulsants.
Oh, interesting. So medications that are normally used for like mood disorders or seizures can also help manage pain.
Yeah, it might seem surprising, but they can be really effective. They work by modulating those pain signals in the nervous system. It's not about eliminating the pain completely,
Yeah.
but it's about making it more manageable, more tolerable.
That's fascinating. So it's not always about targeting the source of the pain directly, but more about adjusting how the body's responding to it.
Exactly. It's like rewiring the circuits
Oh, I like
to
that.
make the pain signals less intense.
I'm learning so much. So we've got the antidepressants, the anticonvulsants. Are there any other meds that are commonly used for fibromyalgia?
Yeah, good old acetaminophen and tramadol can also be helpful for pain relief.
Okay.
But again, it's important to use them as directed and be mindful of any potential side effects. And of course, non-medication strategies like exercise, stress management, and physical therapy are also super important for fibromyalgia.
Absolutely. It's about that holistic approach.
Right, it's not just about popping pills, it's about taking care of your whole self.
I totally agree. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here, from over-the-counter pain relievers to these high-tech biologics. There's a whole arsenal of options out there.
There really is. And it can seem overwhelming,
Yeah.
but the key is to work closely with your healthcare team.
Right. Talk to your doctor, talk to your nurse.
Exactly. They'll help you navigate all these options and figure out what's best for you. Because at the end of the day, it's all about finding what helps you manage your condition so you can live your best life.
Couldn't have said it better myself. All right, so we've tackled the medications. Now let's switch gears and talk about the nursing care aspect.
Okay.
This guide really emphasizes how nurses play such a vital role in supporting patients with these conditions.
Absolutely. Nurses are like the front line.
Yeah.
They're the ones who are providing that direct, personalized care, day in and day out. They're the ones who really help patients navigate the complexities of these conditions.
Yeah. And empower them to, really take an active role in their own well-being.
Totally. They're
Wow.
advocates, they're educators, they're cheerleaders, they do it all.
I love that. So let's dive into the nursing care toolkit. What are some of those key things that nurses are focusing on?
Well, let's start with pain management. I know we talked about medications, but nurses, they have this whole bag of tricks beyond pills.
Oh, tell me more. So tell me more. What are some of those tricks beyond the pills that you mentioned?
Well, for one, heat and cold therapy can be so helpful, like soothing heat for muscle stiffness
Yeah.
or a cold pack to bring down inflammation.
Okay.
And then there's gental exercise. We're talking stretching, Tai Chi, things like that.
Right.
Those can really improve flexibility and range of motion.
Okay. Yeah. I can see how that would help. And what about relaxation techniques? I know those are becoming more and more popular for managing pain.
Absolutely. Things like deep breathing exercises or meditation, they
Yeah.
can be so powerful, not just for managing the pain itself, but also for reducing the stress
Right.
that often comes along with these conditions.
Yeah, because stress can definitely make pain worse.
Oh, for sure. So it's like having a whole menu of options,
Yeah.
and the nurse helps the patient kind of figure out, okay, which of these strategies are going to work best for you?
It's like a personalized approach to pain relief, which I love. So we've talked about pain management. What about mobility support? I
Right.
imagine that's a huge focus, especially for those conditions where joint pain really limits movement, like OA and RA.
Oh, absolutely. Nurses are all about promoting mobility and independence, so they'll work closely with physical therapists and occupational therapists
Oh, yeah.
to create these personalized exercise plans,
Yeah.
teaching patients how to strengthen their muscles, improve their flexibility, and protect those precious joints.
Right. And I know they also help patients learn how to use assistive devices safely, like canes, walkers, things like that.
Exactly. It's all about finding ways to help people stay mobile.
Yeah.
Keep doing the things they love as much as possible.
And the guide also mentions these energy conservation and joint protection techniques. What are those all about?
Yeah, those are really practical tips that can make a big difference. Think of it like ergonomics for everyday life. Nurses will teach patients how to pace themselves throughout the day.
Oh.
How to prioritize activities, how to modify tasks to minimize stress on those joints. Like, let's say you're carrying heavy grocery bags.
Right.
Instead of doing it all at once, maybe use a rolling cart, make multiple trips,
yep.
Break it down a little bit.
It's about working smarter, not harder.
Exactly. And it really reinforces that idea that managing these conditions, it's not just about what happens at the doctor's office.
Yeah.
It's about making changes in your everyday life.
Right. It's a 247 thing.
It is. And that's where nurses really shine. They're there with the patients day in and day out, providing support and guidance every step of the way. Now, another crucial aspect of nursing care is education and self-management.
Okay, yeah. The guide definitely stresses that. So how do nurses help empower patients to take control of their health?
Nurses are amazing educators. They can take all that complex medical jargon
yeah.
and break it down into something that's easy to understand. They'll explain the patient's condition in plain language.
Right.
They'll teach them all about their medications, like how and when to take them, what side effects to watch out for.
Oh.
And they'll really empower patients to recognize warning signs, know when they need to call the doctor.
So it's about giving patients the knowledge and the skills to be active participants in their own care.
Exactly. It's not just about following orders. It's about understanding what's going on and making informed decisions.
I love that.
About your own health. And it goes beyond just the physical stuff. Nurses provide emotional support, too.
Oh, yeah. That's so important.
Yeah, because let's face it, living with a chronic condition like this can be tough.
For sure. It can be physically and emotionally draining.
Exactly. So nurses, they provide that listening ear, a shoulder to cry on.
Yeah.
And they'll connect patients with support groups or other resources that can help them cope with all the ups and downs.
It's that human connection, that empathy, that really makes a difference. And I think it highlights that nurses are treating the whole person, not just the disease.
Totally. And finally, nurses are also really focused on preventing complications.
Okay, so what are some of the things they're keeping an eye out for?
Well, they're monitoring for potential medication side effects, especially with those long-term NSAIDs or corticosteroids.
Right.
They're also watching for any signs of infection, which can be a concern for patients on those immunosuppressants.
Okay.
And of course, falls prevention is huge, especially for those with mobility issues.
It's like they're playing detective, educator, cheerleader, and advocate all at the same time.
Right. They wear so many hats.
Yeah, they do. I'm really blown away by everything nurses do. Mm-hmm. I had no idea their role in musculoskeletal care was so extensive.
Me too. They really are the unsung heroes in this field, providing that compassionate, holistic care that's so essential.
Well, I think we've given our listener a great deep dive into the world of musculoskeletal disorders. We've talked about the different types, the medications, the importance of nursing care.
It's a lot to take in.
It is. But I think we did a good job of breaking it down.
Yeah, hopefully it's a little less mysterious now.
Exactly. And remember, this is just the beginning. There's so much more to learn.
Right. The world of musculoskeletal health is constantly evolving.
And there are always new discoveries being made.
Exactly. So as you continue learning, here's something to think about. Given everything we've discussed today, what do you think the future holds for treating these conditions? Will we see more personalized medicine, more focus on prevention?
Yeah, what about new technologies?
Right. And how can we better support those living with chronic pain?
Those are some great questions to ponder. Keep exploring. Keep asking questions.
And most importantly, keep advocating for your own health.
Love it. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll see you next time for another fascinating exploration.